This is week one of our summer series. We're calling it Human Proverbs. It's we're going to look at different sayings that are part of our culture, and they are familiar sayings. They're like these words of wisdom, right? And some of them come right out of the Bible. Like next week, we'll talk about the handwriting on the wall. You've heard that saying before. That comes right out of the Bible. We're going to be in the book of Daniel next week. And some of them have nothing to do with the Bible. Some of them are just things that we made up. But some of them, like tonight's, are kind of in the Bible. And I suspect as we work our way through summer that most of them are going to be like tonight. They're kind of in the Bible. And they may not be a specific or actual verse that says it exactly, but their theme or their principles are rooted in the Bible. And tonight we're going to talk about the human proverb, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Now, if someone says that, what does that mean? What are they trying to say? Well, I did some research, and it means that there are some things in life that just are not going to happen. Let's say someone owes you money, and let's say they do not have money to pay you back. Even though they want to pay you back, they say they will, but they do not have money. You may try and get it back, but can't get blood out of a turnip, right? That's what that means. It means they just do not have money to pay you. That's what that means. You can try and try, but it's not going to happen. So that's the saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip, and I think it is based on a story in the Bible. I really do. And if it's not based on this story tonight in Genesis 4, it's pretty close. And we're going to talk about the first two brothers in the Bible, Cain and Abel. One of them did exactly what God said, and one of them didn't and got in trouble for it. So I'll give you a little context. In Genesis 4, Cain and Abel went to give God an offering. In the Old Testament, offerings were a little different than our offering today. And one of the ways that God would show in the Old Testament, you see it show up different times in the Old Testament. I think it did here. One of the ways that God showed that he had respect, or it was an offering that was honoring to God, is that he would send a fire down from heaven and consume the offering. If that happened, you knew that God respected that offering, or that was a meaningful offering, or it was an accepted offering. Could you imagine if they did that in church today as you passed the offering plate? Wouldn't that be something? If you passed a plate and whoom, and then, you know, if it didn't, you'd think, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I may want to light something and throw it in the plate just to fool people. I don't know. But that's how God would show respect to an offering. And they offered different things back then. Many times, a fire would come down from heaven and consume it. And it was a big thing. So let's begin in Genesis 4 and read a couple verses. Genesis 4, beginning in verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So what happened is that Cain offered his offering, and somehow everyone knew that God had respect. I believe what likely happened is that God consumed that offering with fire from heaven. Cain offered his, and more than likely, nothing happened. Cain waited and waited, and nothing happened, and he realized God didn't respect his offering. And in fact, it became a problem, and it said his countenance fell. It affected him emotionally and physically. You could tell Cain was really upset. Could you imagine giving a gift to someone and you found out later they didn't care about that gift? They didn't care. I could see why Cain was upset. He gave something to the Lord the Lord didn't accept it. And I'm not saying that Cain had a right to be upset. He didn't. But he was upset because he gave something and it realized that it was not respected. Cain was embarrassed. He felt unappreciated. And he grew so angry that he actually killed his brother over this situation. That's horrible. God, on the other hand, he respected what Abel gave, but he obviously did not want what Cain gave. What was that difference? What was the distinction? What would make Cain was, I mean, Cain was religious. He knew that he believed that God wanted him to offer something. He did it at a certain time. So what is going on? Why would God have respect to Abel's offering but not Cain's? I think there's a really important point here. And how does this apply to me almost 6,000 years after this story? I think it's really important to all of us. Okay, let's talk about Cain. Cain brought something, the Bible says, of the fruit of the ground. A fruit of the ground. We don't know what that was. It could have been potatoes or corn. Could have been a turnip. Could have been anything, but it's something that Cain grew from the ground. Fruit of the ground. A yield from the ground and offered it. Now, we know from this story, Cain was a very religious person. He knew that he was supposed to bring an offering. He knew when to offer it. He knew where to bring it. And he was so eager to offer, he actually offered his offering before his brother Abel. And he worked hard for it. It's hard to grow stuff. And so he was offering the fruit of his labor, the fruit of the ground. But for some reason, God did not accept what Cain did. On the surface, that may seem rough to us. And if we were honest, we might even question, why wouldn't God just take it? Why wouldn't he respect it? We might say, come on, God, what? Why not? Why? Look how much he loved you and worked hard and did his best. Why didn't you accept that offering? And it starts to maybe lead to a lot of questions about why wouldn't God take what Cain gave him? Abel, on the other hand, walks up, offers his offering, and somehow God shows respect to that offering. It says that Abel, it doesn't say Abel offered the fruit of the ground. It says Abel offered the firstlings of his flock. Firstlings of his flock. So Cain offered the fruit of the ground, and Abel offered the firstlings of his flock. God respected that offering. Okay, to understand Genesis 4, I think we can go back to Genesis 3. I believe for a long time that Genesis 3 might be one of, if not the most important chapter in the Bible. It's a pivotal chapter to read and understand and figure out what happened. Can I just chase a rabbit just for a second? And talk about the question, why? We just asked, why didn't God accept Cain's offering? There are a lot of questions in life that are just why. You see something happen, and we think in our thinking that, boy, I just wonder what is going on. Why did it happen this way? And there are lots of big situations in life that you're going to get in. Maybe you're in one of those tonight. Something's happened. You're in a situation, something you maybe never faced before, something bigger than you think that you've never been in this place before, and you've stepped back and you just ask, why did this happen? I heard this long ago, and I've jotted down. I've never forgot this because I still, even today, get into situations where I think, oh, why is this happening? Maybe it doesn't seem right. Maybe it doesn't seem fair. Maybe it doesn't seem like everything is evening out the way I think it should. And I step back and I think, why did this happen? When those things happen to me, here are five things I try to always remember. And it helps me deal with that question that I have, why? And it lets me move on. Hey, you don't want, it's okay to ask why, but you don't ever want to ask that in a place where you just can't move on and it stops you. You need to be able to ask why, deal with what you need to, and move on. These five things that I remember have always helped me move on from that question, why? Here they are. One, I always remember God is good and fair. He's good and fair. It may not seem like it right then. It may not feel like it. But I have settled in my heart, no matter what happens, it may be in a situation where it doesn't seem good and fair, but I have settled in my heart. I've settled it in places in the Bible where I know God is good and he's fair. That's the first thing I always try to remember. Number two, God understands things that I don't understand. So if I'm into something and I don't understand it, I have settled in my heart that I serve a God, and there's a God that loves me who does understand what is happening. So he understands it. Number three. So the first one, God is good and fair. Two, God understands things even if I don't. Three, even if God explained it to me, I probably wouldn't understand it. Amen? Even if God could tell me what is really happening, in my limited human capacity, I probably wouldn't understand it. Four, even if I did understand it, that explanation may not bring peace. May not. I may get from God a perfect explanation, but even that, it may not bring peace. I am just human. The fifth thing, and this leads us back to our lesson, is that the world has been really, really messed up since Genesis 3. Genesis 3 is a pivotal point in our history. That is a point where people made a decision and sin was infused into the world. That's why I think that Genesis 3 is such an important chapter, and it answers a lot of questions that you see on TV, that you read about in the paper, see on the news, see it on the internet, all the things happening. It could all go back to just we are in a world that is fallen and apart, going away from God since Genesis 3. That helps me understand more about the question, why? So those, maybe that's what you needed tonight. Maybe you have a big why in your life, and maybe those are some things that would help you. Well, the answer to the story of Cain and Abel is, I believe, in the story, the chapter before, of their parents and Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve helps me understand why God had respect to one offering and didn't the other. Do you remember when Adam and Eve ate fruit from the wrong tree and sinned? They realized something. They realized they were ashamed. They realized they were naked. They realized they had something in their life that they had to cover up. They didn't want to keep going like they were going. They had to take some step and try to cover up what they had done. If you remember the story, God put them in a wonderful environment, and he told them they could eat anything except the fruit of this one tree, and they ended up eating the fruit from that one tree. So they wanted to cover it up. And do you remember what Adam did? He went to a fig tree and made leaves and aprons and clothing out of the leaves of that tree, and that's how he and Eve tried to cover up what they had done, and they tried not to feel ashamed. So that's what Adam did. He took something that grew from the ground and took the leaves and tried to cover up so he could move on. Look at Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them were both open. This is right after they ate the bad fruit. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So that is Adam and Eve trying to cover up what they had done. Now, most people know this part about Genesis 3. They know that Adam sewed fig leaves together, but maybe you didn't know what God did. It's when God came and had a discussion with Adam and Eve, he handled it a little bit differently in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wives did the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Now that is an important difference, and it helps us begin to unlock Genesis 4. When Adam and Eve sinned, they took leaves that grew out of the ground and made a clothing. But God didn't do that, did he? He didn't make a better clothing out of leaves. It said that God made coats of skins and clothed them. So those two verses show us a principle that started back in Genesis 3 and 4 and actually ran all through the books of Moses, all the way through the Gospels, and it's true today. And it's this. And it also goes with the song that Robbie and the guys sang just a minute ago. When we do things that disobey God, God needs a payment. He needs a payment. And the payment isn't something that grows from the ground and that we do ourselves. It's not the fruit of the ground like Cain or the fig leaves of Adam. God needs innocent blood as a payment. He needs innocent blood as payment for the sin that I've done to disobey him. It's a principle that we saw way back in the Bible. It's something that's always been set. It's one of the most important principles in the Bible. When people sin against God, when people disobey God, he expects innocent blood in return. Remember the movie Prince of Egypt, I don't know, 20 years ago or something? As the angel passed through that night, there was only one thing that saved each family. It's in Exodus 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's an old hymn we used to sing. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Moses writes very clearly about this principle in Leviticus 17. I think this is the key verse in the entire book of Leviticus, 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That is a big verse. And it's why God had respect unto Abel's offering. Abel offered from the firstlings of his flock and not Cain's. Cain was working hard. He was religious. He may have been the nicest guy on the planet. Were there only four people on the planet then? He had good intentions, but he didn't have blood. Didn't have blood. God needs blood to get payment for disobedience. You know what Cain was trying to do? He was trying to get blood out of a turnip. And you can't get blood out of a turnip. It's like Robbie saying, "What?" And the guys, I don't mean to leave out, you know, the other guys. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can wash away sin. Hey, it's no secret that I like the older songs and the older Bible translations. I know they're harder to understand. I know it makes me look like an old guy. I know that. And I know I'm weird. But the good people who want to make the songs more modern have a tendency to take out the blood of some of the translations or some of the hymns, and sometimes they'll replace it with the word love. I say leave the blood in. Leave it in. Leave it in. I mean, it wouldn't seem, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the love of Jesus. I mean, that's true, but just leave the blood in. Leave it in. It's you got to have it, right? I understand the reason. Blood, you know, it can be kind of creepy. You think of Halloween and all the thing that goes with that. It I understand. All the scary movies and costumes. But I like the songs and the verses that just leave the blood in. I think we need to teach more about it. We need to sing more about it. We need to thank Jesus more for it, for his gift of his blood. All of these sacrifices that Cain, Abel, Moses, Abraham, all of them, the Bible says in Hebrews, that didn't really take care of the problem. It just showed a picture of the person someday, Jesus, who would make the ultimate payment for our sins. So you've got Cain and Abel. You have a person who works hard. Maybe he's nice. He's religious. All those things are good things. But at the end of the day, it was one thing and one thing only that made a difference. It was the blood. And I would say to you, there's one thing and one thing only that will make a difference for you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the one thing that can bring forgiveness to your soul, and the one thing that can give you peace in your heart, that you can have a home in heaven forever. There's no other way. It's the perfect blood of Jesus. Hey, there's so many people trying to get to heaven their own way. Great people, well-intentioned people. But Abel's way is the only way, the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for this story that shows us about your gift of your Son who came to earth willingly to give us his precious, matchless, perfect blood. What a gift. I can't even believe it, Lord. What a gift, your perfect blood. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, next week, Handwriting on the Wall of the Esquire. That's right in the Bible. I think it's in Daniel, maybe chapter 5, if you want to get ahead.